Here we go.
All right, so here we are. Tonight, I would like for us to fellowship around this thought, and that is, can the Lord be pleased? Can the Lord, Jesus Christ, be pleased? Can the Heavenly Father be pleased? And when we talk about pleased, it simply means to satisfy. To satisfy. Can we satisfy the Lord? And I believe Scripture teaches we can.
Amen.
We don't always, but we can satisfy the Lord.
Yes.
I'm in John chapter 8 and verse number 28. The context is when the Pharisees had gone and taken this poor woman, fallen into adultery, and brought her before Jesus, and they all accused her, of course. And they said, listen, Moses said she should be stoned. What do you say? They're trying to trick Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jesus could see right through to the heart what they were trying to do. And, but Jesus, after they had all, he said, he that that sin cast the first stone.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got a clean house now.
Amen.
Yeah. And so they were all left. They all left. And Jesus was sitting down, and he was standing there, and she looked up, and she said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.
Yes, that's right.
He was not condemning them, of course. What he was saying was, my mission is not to come to condemn people. We're already condemned.
Yes.
We've broken the law.
Yes.
I've come to save you from
this. Yes.
I've come to save you from the penalty of the law that we have all broken. And I'm saying that now. Jesus would say, he said, I've come, I didn't come to condemn you. I can't say, let's get up and go. And don't follow that path anymore. Follow me. Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful way. You know, Jesus blows my mind. I mean, he always has, ever since I've
Amen.
Come to know him and getting his word, and just blows my mind. But in John 8:28, this is the context. And now Jesus is at the temple teaching, and they had been asking him, Who are you? Who do you think you are? What do you think you're going to do? I mean, you act like you're God, you know? And so, Jesus is answering them. And then in verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself.
Amen.
But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 28. And he that sent me is with me.
Mm.
The Father hath not left me alone, for I do, get this word, always those things that please him.
Yes.
There's only one person that has always pleased the Father.
Mm.
And that's Jesus.
Yes.
Nobody else can say that. But can we please the Father? Can we please Jesus? Can we please the Lord? That's the question tonight. We know Jesus did. So the Bible's not a lie. And everybody that's ever attacked this Bible, they have lost the Bible. The Bible's true. Man is wrong. The world's wrong.
Yes.
God's right, Jesus right, and the Bible's right.
Right.
And anything that lines up with that is just wrong. And so the Bible's right, right?
Amen.
So, you know, I've been looking for those kind of answers all my life, about 21. But when you find the truth, you know, your search is over. You just settle down. You get peace.
Yes.
Take the pressures off. I mean, we have problems. We have all kinds. Sometimes we have worse problems than the world has. But we got somebody to go to.
Yes.
And we got someone to help us, the Holy Spirit, to give us strength, to
mm-hmm.
give us stability to deal with the issues of life. And then in Romans 8 and verse 6, let's see, let me get that. Romans 8 verse 6. He's talking here about the conflict of the our flesh. In other words, it's called the sin nature.
Yeah.
Adamic, Adam's nature, that we all inherited. And we wouldn't have known that if God hadn't told us that, would we? We'd have thought it was another problem. No, this is the root at all. And so it's a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit of God.
Yes.
In Romans 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, and that means fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither the can be. And verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean in the flesh of the body. It's talking about in the flesh, you know, in other words, not walking with the Lord and being, you know, far off, walking in the flesh, so to speak. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, ye do believe. You're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So all believers have the Spirit of God inside of us.
Yeah, that's right.
To enable us, to help us in whatever way we need. But that old flesh in us, you know, that is our problem. Somebody said, what's the hardest thing for you to deal with in life? And I said, look myself in the mirror in the morning.
Yeah. That's
I got to deal with me, you know. But if we just get me straight, everything else will be better. It won't straighten out the whole world, but it'll sure change the thing. And so, that's it, you know. One of the most offensive things I ever come across before I came to the Lord was one man that had such a change in his life and came to the Lord, looked me in the face, and he said, you're a sinner. I never had anybody tell me that, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody thought I was a pretty good boy, but I knew better. And he knew better. And so, you know, that woke me up. That's my problem. I have done wrong to God. I have done wrong to my fellow man, myself, my family, you know. We've all disappointed one another along the way. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. All right, so that's that flesh we're talking about. But the flesh cannot please God, but when we get the Spirit of God now, we can please the Lord.
That's right.
And that means satisfy the Lord. And, excuse me, I thought. That's why I had to give up the pastor because of this stuff, you know. But anyway, one thing that pleases God, and I put this at the top of the list, is faith.
Yeah.
Faith pleases God.
That's right.
We're gathered here tonight to have by faith.
Yes.
He didn't promise me no $100 deal.
Yep.
He didn't promise me no big, dinner tonight. You know? We had refreshments last time and they were delicious and I appreciate that. No. We're here just to meet together and come across from this. Come out from this confused mess we got in this world.
Yes.
And, you know, the Lord, Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, the last day for a time should come.
Yeah.
And so we're there. So every now and then somebody will ask me, what? You've been preaching a long time. You've read that Bible through and through and through. And you think we are getting close to the end of time? I said, I think we're getting close to the last time. But what do you mean by that? Well, you know, my grandparents raised me, my father's son, from the time I was 8 years old. And we kids would go out in the alleyway, our boys would go out in the alleyway and play football in the alleyway, you know, well, about 8, 9, 10 years old. And grandma would come after she had supper, you know, call. I heard her call me. But I'm not ready to go in. I'm playing football. I'm having fun. So I go in, I got to, wash up and start studying for school. I want to play football, okay. Then she comes back there again and hollers. I heard her, but I didn't go. I'm still want to stay outside. And then Then she comes out there and she calls me by my full name.
Wow.
I said, uh-oh, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Time to go. And so I go in. And here's what she said. She said, Howard Brown Slide the Third, this is the last time I'm calling you. And I think that's where we are.
Yeah.
I think this is the last time.
Yeah.
Not only the last day, the last times, but the last time.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are. And so, look up, our redemption goes nigh.
Amen.
And so, that's the positive side of it. Yeah, faith pleases God. We're gathered here by faith. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Who's got that one, brother?
Yeah.
By the faith of Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Amen.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that tremendous scripture there?
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, faith pleased the Lord there. And Cain and Abel, you know, and that faith pleased the Lord. It went. You know, there's only two religions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's over 2,000, preacher. No, this is wake up time. No, there's only two. One religion of this world was devised by men or women down through the quarters of history.
Yes.
They were not founded by God. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yeah.
The church is not going down, the church is going up.
Yeah.
We're just getting ready for the journey. Now, it does get rough. But listen, man has built a church in this world.
Amen.
And it is, you come to know God by doing good or doing better. And then the truth is, the gospel that came down from heaven is, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Yes.
And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works of man. But people all over the world are doing everything they can in hope that they will please whoever God is. Some of them have millions of God. Several guys. This one lady in India, missionary was there. He's walking down the road, very hot one day, and there was this old lady. She was just crumbled, balled up in a knot beside the road, all hot and sweaty, and cuts on her elbows and her knees. And he said, "My dear lady, what are you doing?" She says, "I've got to go to Delphi." Why are you going to Delphi? How do you get to Delphi? I'm going to fall on my knees.
Oh.
And when I get to Delphi, I will please my God, and he will accept me.
Hmm.
And passion would begin to set in on the poor woman, and she'd have never made another 10 miles, had another 50 to go. So he helped her along, gave her some water, and took care of her wounds, his wife did. And they explained to her that there's one who has suffered for you to take away your sins and your guilt or your shame. And if you will believe on him, you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. She said, "Who is he?" Well, his name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained to him what Jesus did, her what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Her. And she just began to break down tears. And I don't have to go to Delphi.
Yes.
I'm saved. I'm going to have to go to Delphi. And people persecute themselves. In the Philippines, they crucify themselves.
Yes.
They let people beat them.
Lord,
and hope Lord. that will take away their sins for that sake. People, without believing the scripture and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, come up with some idea of how I can get rid of my shame, my guilt, my pain, and go to a good place when I leave this world. And so, thank God for the gospel.
Amen.
And so, Abel and Enoch walked with God and was not before God took him, because God took him. In other words, one preacher said years ago, never forgot, he said, Enoch walked kept on walking toward God, and one day God says, all right, Enoch, you're closer to me than you are anywhere else. Just come on home.
Mm.
And he didn't die. He went on to heaven.
Yep.
Elijah did too, you know. The only citizen ever done. And then you got Noah. Oh, my soul, we're fixed on our Noah. Noah, that'd be your name, Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Abraham, Jacob, Joseph was one of my favorites. Oh, I love to preach on Joseph. Moses, oh, what a man.
Hmm.
And Rahab, the harlot, Jericho. Oh, that's what God did to them. Now, if I remember right, she was a great-great-grandmother of David. Anyway, you know what? I gave my library to my grandson in the Bible college. And here I am, this far gone in life, and I say, you know, I forgot 70% or 80% of revenue. So,
yeah.
You know, you get leftover tonight. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
Amen. Well, that's good.
I don't know about you, but I like leftover tonight.
Yeah.
I
leftovers tonight. Supper. Amen.
All right. And so they all pleased God.
Yeah.
Listen, they were men and women of flesh just like we are. They did trust in the Lord, and the Bible says God was pleased with them.
Mm.
He's pleased with what we're doing right here, right now, tonight. He's pleased with his children. He's pleased with you being here, me being here, you know, with all the infirmities and afflictions and whatever. And so faith pleases God. There's another thing that pleases God, and that's in 1 Corinthians 18 through 21.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 18.
Chapter 1, verse 18.
Amen. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that is the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe.
Be sure to note that it does not say it pleased God by foolish preaching, but by the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
You know, he could have wrote it on the sky every day. Today is the day of salvation. Here's how you come to know the Lord. Here's how you get to see. He could have wrote that in the clouds every day by an angel. But he chose redeem flesh from the earth.
Yes.
Sinners saved by grace, and put a call upon them or a witness upon them to show others the way.
Amen.
And people need the Lord.
Yes.
And then God's people need one another.
Yes.
In these days and times.
That's right.
And if you turn to your left, there's no refuge. Turn to your right, there's no refuge. But when you turn to the Lord and lean on God's people, support one another, help one another, rather than condemn one another, you know.
Amen.
And run one another down, but we all got fall short.
Yep.
Hey, we're here to encourage one another today, you know.
Amen. That's right. That's good.
It pleased God through the foolish preaching to save them who believe. And the longer I live, the more I realize just how desperately messed up in the head and the heart people are that don't know the Lord.
Yes.
And those that are not as messed up as others are headed that way because they don't have no refuge.
Amen.
Had no stopping point. They had no base reference. They had no one to lean on other than themselves or others like them. And they all go down to the... But the natural man will see not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can they know them because the Spirit is discerned.
That's right.
I remember when I was raised up in a denominational church, but, I mean, you know, they tried to do good and all, and I love the preacher to death. He's a wonderful man. But he didn't get up and really preach it like he should, you know.
Hmm.
His hands were tied because of the money people.
Yeah.
And so he vowed for that, and he should not have. But anyway, in the midst of all that. And I was going somewhere with that.
Hmm.
maybe to China, I don't know. What was I talking about? Faith was preaching of the cross.
Yes.
Okay. And but I never heard the preaching of the cross. And I know what I was going with that. You wait around a while, I'll get to it. I know what's going with that. And but there was this Baptist evangelist who came. He was a young guy, dressed real fancy, and drove a sports car. All the young people gathered there. And man, I tell you, he preached that Bible like nothing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I sat up in the bathroom, that's it, when the people there that night, and I thought sure somebody told him I was in the building that night.
Yeah.
And it seemed like every time he pointed, he was pointing at me.
Wow.
But he wasn't. It was the Lord giving him. I said, that man says God knows our thoughts. Oh, my soul.
Mm.
And God knows everything you've done in your life.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? First thing I thought of that, I'm not in trouble with Grandma if I'm late getting home tonight. I'm in trouble with God Almighty.
Yes.
And that sure changed things. And 4 years later, I came to the Lord. But anyway,
amen.
I said, I'm going to start reading the Bible. I had memorized the books of the Bible at church was going to, and they gave you a Bible, you memorize the books of the Bible. And so I took it home. I said, well, Marty, I got it. I need to try to read it. I turned to John 1, started reading it.
Mm.
And talked about, you know, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I'm in my bedroom. They got a cord hanging down with a light on, you know. I look up at that light and I said, Jesus, are you that light? I mean, I couldn't comprehend nothing, not even that simple thing.
Yeah.
You said, well, that's stupidity, you know, that and the natural man doesn't understand nothing of God. Don't understand the things of God. And the Spirit is discerned. So thank God he gives us his Spirit.
Yes.
And he gives us a book that was given by the Holy Ghost of God and looked upon the Holy Men of God.
Yep.
To give us the Word of God.
Yep.
People say, well, men wrote the Bible. Wrong again, world.
Yep.
They were holy men of God, moved by the Holy Ghost of God.
Right.
They came upon them to give us the Word of God. And over in the Old Testament, you know, they tell us. They give us the promise. It will be preserved.
Yes.
From generation. And the most hated book in the world, but yet the most popular book in the world.
Yep.
What about that? Amen? Thank you, Almighty. All right, so faith pleases God. The preaching of the cross pleases God.
Amen.
And let's see here. How much time we got here, huh?
Until you're done. Amen.
Okay, let's go. Let's see. Did I give somebody Proverbs 16:7? I don't think.
No.
No. Let's scratch that one over in Romans. Let's go to Proverbs 16:7. Last time I looked, that was in the Old Testament. It was right after Psalms. That's how I remember Proverbs.
Proverbs 16:7?
16:7, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yes. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Oh, my. Folks, that doesn't mean the whole world will love you.
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't even mean that your neighbor's going to love you. But he says, if you if you walk with the Lord, you will be at peace with the enemy. That's talking about winning people over who are in opposition to you.
Yes.
They may not like your personality. They may not like some of your characteristics. And they just don't like you as a person. But God said, if you just please me, walk with me, I will turn them around so that you can get along. Now,
amen.
On the other hand, we do know this, that he says, Paul tells us, you know, he says, you know, when it comes to getting in relationships, that, in other words, you can't please everybody. You can't please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You try. And, but he said, wherein as is possible, live at peace with all men.
Yes.
So we strive for that peace, that relationship, that, you know, get along together type thing without compromise. But at the same time, there's some people, friend, they're so unreasonable. Nobody get along with them.
Yeah.
They can't stand themselves and they won't listen to you. Hey, you just have to, shake the dust off of your feet and go on.
Amen. So, that's right.
You know, they don't want it? Okay. Let me give you an example, sir. When I was in the Bible college, I had a wife and two children, worked a job 25 hours a week, went to school full time, had just gone to the military. I was already retired. Anyway, I went in there, and we got a nice little house about two blocks down from the school there in Mrs. Salem. And that was a real long lot. It had my shade tree, and there was about four whole hound dogs tied up around a big old tree right there, just across the hedge from where my bedroom was. And I was working a sealed test ice cream at the part-time job one summer. And it was hot, you know. We didn't have an air conditioner. We had a fan in the window blowing it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get some sleep and work all night. I went through that for about 3 months. And I told my wife, I said, I've had it. I'm going down there and tell that guy a thing or two. She says, calm down first. Of course, I don't have a temper by nature, but I mean, I couldn't take no more. I couldn't get no sleep, couldn't get no rest. You know, them dogs stink worse than pigs. And I can't sleep. So I said, I'm going down there today. I've waited long enough. And Lord knows, I take patience with you. It's time to get something done. And she knew I would do it then. So I go on down there and I walk, knock on his door. I've never seen a man. He's always gone, but his old man, you know, went down now. And I said, what's your name, sir? He said, he told me, Earl, who he was. He said, my wife just sitting here talking a while ago, and let me cup of coffee. You like a cup of coffee? Yes, sir. That's all I go in. He said, I go to, you know, to the Bible college up here, and I'm working night shift and trying to sleep in the day. And he said, you know what? He said, across his leg. He said, I told my wife the other day, he said, you know what? We need to move them dogs. They're probably keeping that boy away, you know? Not just awake, I mean they stunk, you know. and he said, well, you know what? I hadn't even asked him to move them yet, you know. That's what I was upset about, that he had moved them. And he said, you know what? I got a brother, yeah, about 20 acres out there in the country. He's coming to get those hound dogs today.
Yeah.
I shook your hand, he shook mine, everything's sweet, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you walk with God, please God. He'll work some things out for you.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
On your job, oh man, I can tell you some of these stories. You know, job situations, so forth. And you walk with the Lord, even your enemies eventually will be at peace with you.
That's right.
Unless they're just of that crowd, you know, nobody can help. They won't even ask God to help. All right. So, faith pleases the Lord, and preaching pleases the Lord, and then being at peace with the enemies pleases the Lord.
Amen.
Folks, we could be here all night. There's so many things we can do to please the Lord. And the bottom line is, we know we're pleasing the Lord enough, you know?
Yes.
But even if we're not, we can ask forgiveness, clean. And we all have to confess every day about something, you know?
Amen.
And, but it's all good. I want to close with this. When it comes to pleasing, you know, satisfying. You know, every daddy wants to be satisfied to his children.
Yes.
You really feel good when they do well and act right and so forth. It breaks your heart when they don't, just like we break our father's heart. But one day, it was springtime, and there was four or five kids gathered in the neighborhood at the front yard, and they had the windows up, and it was a cool breeze blowing, and they heard the kids playing out there. And the daddy was in there sitting, you know, he had a hard day, he just wore out and kind of down, that something. And then he heard the boy stop me, his wife carrying some Kool-Aid or something out, they made something like that. Pepsi-Cola, Boom Pie, whatever, you know. And they sitting down talking. And one boy said, my daddy knows the chief of police. And he does something with him. and other boys eating up my daddy and mama know the mayor, and he ate lunch with us. He ate lunch with us Sunday after church. And another boy says, hey, I got y'all. He said, my daddy knows the senator from our territory. And he went to school with him. He knows him. He called him on the phone anytime he wants to. And so the man was listening to see what his boy would say. Because he was not a well-known man. He was a good man. Everybody knew he was a good man. But he wondered what his son would say. And his son said, stood up, he said, all right, guys. He said, my daddy might not know the chief police, might not know the mayor, and he might not know your senator. He said, but I want to tell you one thing. My daddy knows God.
Amen.
And he said, the way I know that is because every day he goes in his prayer room and prays to God, and I hear him talking to him.
Yes. Amen.
What can be a better benediction than that?
Amen.
My daddy knows God.
Amen.
My mama knows God. My brother knows God. My sister knows God. Oh, we could go on and on. Yeah. Let's pick it up right there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was Brother Harold Slough, 44 years of preaching, 23rd of August, 2022. Amen.